It's the Nachum Segal Network, and every week we get an opportunity to check out some of the latest books and authors in a segment we call By the Book. And this time around, it is a book that's on the Magid Books label. Magid, of course, associated with our friends at Koren Publications, Koren Publishers, I should say. KorenPub.com, KorenPub.com for information. And in terms of Magid, it's MagidBooks.com, M-A-G-G-I-D, Books.com, for their website on those specific titles that are Magid. Rabbi Barry Kislowitz is with us. The book is called Parenting in Perspective, Timeless Wisdom, Modern Applications. Rabbi Dr. Barry Kislowitz believes that a large part of the answer lies in the perspective. What separates those parents who succeed from those who struggle? He believes that a large part of the answer lies in the perspective we bring to parenting. And parenting in perspective, Rabbi Kislowitz draws on psychological research and Torah ideals to provide an insightful framework for truly putting our kids at the center. Exploring how parents can inspire and guide their children in areas ranging from morals and mitzvot to the nuanced interactions of day-to-day life. The book aims to help parents develop a deeper understanding of their children while strengthening the parent-child relationship. This thoughtful approach is then brought to bear on the most challenging areas of parenthood, such as effective discipline and managing the teenage years. Parenting in Perspective, published by Magid Books, division of Koren Publishers Jerusalem, offers works of contemporary Jewish thought from leading rabbis and scholars. And as we introduce Rabbi Dr. Barry Kislowitz, I will tell you that he has served the Jewish community in Cleveland, Ohio for 12 years. Most recently as head of Fuchs Mizrahi School. He holds rabbinic ordination from Yeshiva University, doctorate in education from Columbia Teachers College. He's recipient of the Wexner Graduate Fellowship and Covenant Foundation Pomegranate Prize. He and his wife plan on making Aliyah with their four children, from whom they have learned volumes about both parenting and perspective. Rabbi Dr. Barry Kislowitz, welcome to the Nachum Segal Network.
Thank you very much. Great to talk to you.
I'm glad that you chose a really easy topic for your book.
I figured I would do something that could be dealt with in a couple of pages. We'll do the challenging things for the next work.
How many times did you say to yourself once the book was complete that you wonder if you wrote the right thing, depending on the specific subject or area?
Pretty much every day. We actually had a great book launch here in Cleveland last night, and I opened my remarks at the book launch by explaining how humbling it is to have a major blow-up with your children as you're trying to get them to bed on your way to launch a book about parenting.
Is that a true story?
It is absolutely and unfortunately a true story.
That is funny. And why the book? I mean, why did you decide to go in this direction and, in fact, address the topic of parenting in perspective?
Thankfully, there are a tremendous number of parenting books out there. But over my time as an educator, what I saw was missing was all of the wisdom and research and tremendous studies that have been done in the world of education on the formal side have never crossed that divide to be applicable to parents. And a lot of what I do in my day job as a principal here is meet with parents, work on them, work on the issues that are relevant to their children, and try and apply my educational training to help them in their family lives. And over the course of a decade of doing so, I noticed certain patterns emerging and certain ways that I felt educators could reach out to the parenting world to be helpful, and this book was my attempt to do just that.
And knowing that there is no perfect formula, I'm sure you'd agree with that.
Absolutely.
Knowing there's no perfect formula, and knowing also that that none of the recommendations from you or anybody else are foolproof, nonetheless, you feel that some of these recommendations, if implemented, could change a family dynamic when it comes to raising children.
I certainly think they can, and part of the attempt in the book is to stay away from specific recipe sort of recommendations. Do this on Tuesday, do this on Wednesday. The book is much more about illuminating a perspective we can take towards our children, because I think that the way we see our children, however long we can keep that perspective in mind in between all the other craziness that goes on, can really influence the long-term relationships we build with them, which is at the heart of what we're trying to do in our parenting.
And just to make it clear, as a principal, you are principal of elementary school children, high school children, or both?
Right now, I'm principal for kids ranging from 18 months to 18 years old, so I get to see the whole spectrum.
So what we would call K through 12, or much earlier than K through 12.
Exactly.
And, I mean, one has to One has to assume that some of those age groups are much more difficult than others. You've seen, as you mentioned, you've seen parents try to deal with certain elements in their own family life vis-a-vis children, and you've internalized some of the things that you've noticed parents do, or maybe some of the things that they shouldn't have been doing. And I would guess that the older the children are, the much more difficult all that becomes. Am I right that the high school years, you would say, belong in its own category compared to the younger years?
Absolutely. The older the children are, the more complex things get, and that's actually why there's a full chapter in the book dedicated only to teenagers. They do present their entire own series of quandaries and questions, but one of the things that we've discovered is that being a successful parent of a teen starts when your child's a toddler.
Wow.
Because you can plant seeds and build a relationship when your child needs you at age 4 or 5 that will stand you in tremendous stead when you're looking to connect with your child when they're 14 or 15.
And does that make it too late when they're 14 or 15, or not necessarily?
It's never too late, but it's also never too early. So when I talk to parents of 4 and 5-year-olds, I help them see the long picture. When you talk to parents of 14 and 15-year-olds, there may be a lot of water under the bridge that they have to make up for. But one thing that we have learned about kids and about teenagers in particular is that they're much more forgiving than we give them credit for. And if we're willing as parents to make that outreach and try and take a different pattern and we're persistent about it, we can make that change, and it is not too late.
I'm a parent myself, so I have my own perspective on things. Was there ever a time where you felt it was a give-up situation, where no matter what a parent would do, because of the disposition of the child or other reasons, there was just no hope or no such thing?
I would say that there have been give-up situations for specific goals or specific contexts. There may be a parent who wants their child to ace AP Bio, and they've been intent on this since the child is 6 years old. This child is going to be a doctor just like his mom or dad. And I've worked with some of those parents to say, we have to give up on this goal because this goal is just not appropriate for your child. But there's no such thing as giving up on a child.
Yeah. Speaking with her, Dr. Barry Kislowitz, the book is called Parenting in Perspective, Timeless Wisdom, Modern Applications. I'll get to some of the specifics of the book in a moment. I'm just so curious about some of the background that you could provide for us on all these issues. It sounds already, because of the AP example, that expectations and managing those expectations is a major part of all this. We know in our community, and I'm saying that as a worldwide Jewish community, it seems that those expectations always play a bigger role than in other communities. Whether that's true or not, I'm not 100% sure, and the truth is, it may not be relevant if it's true or not. Is expectations and parental concerns in those types of areas one of the biggest roadblocks from raising healthy children?
I do think that they are, and I think it's true in our community. I think it's true in the independent school world in general. But I think it's not always quite as simple as people might believe. In my mind, the biggest challenge with expectations is the same in the AP Bio case as it is when you're sitting in the stands watching your kid play Little League. Because if you imagine what it's like, as you're sitting there, and if you're like me, you're right behind home plate and you're watching your kid up at bat, you're more nervous than if you were standing at the plate yourself.
Correct.
And in some ways, you've transposed yourself. So whether your kid hits that ball is a statement about you.
Right.
It's a statement about whether you were a good athlete as a kid or whether you're putting enough time into them. And there's what I call an identity overlap, which is the most dangerous part of those expectations, because you stop letting your kid be who they are because you're too worried about what their abilities and their achievements say about you.
Is that gender related, or can a mother have expectations that are, identity overlap with a son, for instance?
I think it definitely goes in both directions. I'll tell you personally, my wife was always a much better ball player than I was. So when we're watching our son play point guard for his junior high school team, she knows what he's supposed to do, and I don't have a clue. So it definitely goes in both directions.
Unbelievable. So nobody's spared throughout this entire thing, huh?
No one is spared. But husband and wife, parents working together to talk through these things is part of what I'm trying trying to stimulate in my book, because that kind of discussion is what can open our eyes to what we're doing and some of the mistakes that we're making subconsciously.
Does some of the hopelessness set in? And I hate to be negative, and I really don't want to be. I just, you know, I want to paint a certain picture here. When you know that you're not speaking to both parents, in other words, you might be having a meeting with parents and trying to encourage them to adopt some of your recommendations, or to, you know, open up their eyes to certain things that you can open up their eyes to. And often one will be very receptive and the other will just not, you know, have the ability to understand what you mean, or the desire to give in to what you're saying. That must be the most frustrating.
Absolutely. And I always say, as a school, that I don't think we've ever failed a child, but sometimes we failed parents.
Yeah.
Because getting parents to open their eyes in some cases is very challenging. And it goes back to what you said before. I don't think parents can or should ever give up on a child. But when we're working with people who are already parents themselves, at that point, no one can change the parent but the parent themselves.
Yeah, I think you have an example in the book about bar mitzvah preparations, right? And
yes.
And knowing what's proper for each kid and trying to, you know, give them maybe a challenge, but not too great of a challenge for them, you know, one that they can meet. And it that's a difficulty right there. You know, the child's being put on stage in front of the entire community. You know, you want him to do what his older brother did, or you want him to do what every other kid in the neighborhood has done. It's a difficult situation.
Absolutely. I think bar mitzvahs, aside from all the financial difficulties that are involved in the standards we've set for bar and bat mitzvahs, the standard it sets for children is really, really difficult. And most of our kids are probably not able, or nor is it an appropriate expectation for them to do nearly the amount of work and really performing that we have them do for bar and bat mitzvahs. And our challenge as parents is to begin to set that tone of, the bar mitzvah is supposed to be meaningful and appropriate. It's not supposed to be laning the entire parsha or making a speech of X length or any other set piece that applies to all children regardless of ability.
Rabbi Dr. Barry Kislowitz is with us. He's his brand new book is Parenting in Perspective, Timeless Wisdom, Modern Applications. You don't hesitate to quote and to cite advice from Jewish sources and from conventional sources, correct?
Correct.
And what is the balance that one needs when one is in an environment like ours, and we want, you know, the best advice from those who are steeped in Torah, and at the same time, as you point out, there are worthwhile things to learn from those who may not be in the Torah world. What is the proper balance or the proper way to approach that?
My sense of it, and this is really informed by my own Rebbeim and my own teachers over the years, is that Torah is the prism through which we view everything else. And if it doesn't fit within that prism, if it's not consonant with the values that come out of our Torah perspective, we're not going to look at it in the first place. But that being said, when the Torah tells us that we're obligated to raise our children and chanoch lanar al pi darko, there are many, many secular resources from the psychological and education world which can enable us to implement exactly that prerogative and to fulfill that mitzvah, and that's where those other pieces of wisdom come in.
Understood. Why do you make such a difference between learning our children and knowing our children?
I think that one of the key mistakes we make as parents is we are very quick to label our kids. We know what little Jimmy was like when he was 5 years old, and, you know, he's the kid that wouldn't keep trying to learn how to ride a bike. And so when he's in math class in 11th grade, we say, Jimmy, you know, you were not persistent at age 5, and you're still not persistent today. And that's the most belittling thing that we can say to our son. And as long as we feel that, oh, we already know them, we got this, we're never going to pay the amount of attention needed to really develop a relationship with kids who are changing every day.
It's a little bit like Shmo Kenhu, that if you keep reminding them that they're, you know, a lazy bum and that, you know, this is their MO, why would they have a desire to change or to exhibit, you know, other things they're able to do?
Exactly. And it's the other side of the expectations question you mentioned earlier. Setting expectations that are too high is extremely dangerous, but telling a child that they're lazy or that they can't is probably the most dangerous thing that we can do as parents, because they will live down to whatever we tell them.
Well, in 2016, some experts or non-experts, you know, might recommend that every word from a parent to a child has to be positive and reassuring and confidence building and, you know, and making sure to stroke their ego, so to speak. Is that necessarily the case?
I don't think it is. I think certainly with our Torah perspective, there are certain things that are right and certain things that are wrong. And as parents, we have to have a clear sense of that morality, what is right and what is wrong. The point I try and make is that simply telling our kids something is wrong or that something is right isn't enough. We need the relationship and we need the role modeling, which is really what's going to enable them to embody those same values.
You write and allude to, even more often than writing it directly, to the situation that we see in many communities where certain families get a reputation for how their kids are, how they behave. You know, if they are a product of these two parents, they must be good kids. You know what I mean, right?
Exactly, yes.
So, but do they have a certain formula? Are they the beneficiaries of an incredible amount of luck? What would you say?
I would say they're the beneficiaries of an incredible amount of love, primarily.
Really?
And I signed two books at the book launch last night to two families out of the many who had come, and I had chosen, I knew what I was going to say to these two families if they showed up, and I told them that they were my two primary role models for what it meant to raise kids. And when I thought about what these parents were all about, they had this love for their children, which was based on the core of who their children were, not based on any achievement or any attribute. They believed in their children, and they connected to their children, and they always wanted to build that relationship. And to me, that is the single most salient factor.
Do some other factors that are often cited, whether it be quality time or time in general spent with children, does that have anything to do with it as well?
Absolutely. Some of the recent research has indicated that quality time isn't enough. You simply can't have quality time without quantity time. There's no way to make up for that time. And in the book, I try and illustrate a number of the kinds of scenarios which can pass us by so easily when none of us think we have any time. But most of us spend Sundays running around and doing errands. And a lot of those errands are done with our kids. And that Sunday of errands can either be an annoying day schlepping your kids from point A to point B to point C, or with just a difference in perspective, we may be able to turn that into a fun day spent with our kids where we're talking and schmoozing and laughing in the car and maybe stopping for an ice cream cone along the way in between getting all the errands done that we need to accomplish.
Wow. When does all this come to an end? meaning once they've hit 18 years old or once they're out of the house because it's time to head to Israel for the year, whatever the case may be, is that basically it? Has all opportunity to raise them and to have this type of effect on them ended?
Absolutely not. I think as the kids get older, it becomes more complex. They eventually become parents themselves. But talk to any parent of a 60-year-old, and you'll know that in some format, parenting always continues. And the influence we can have on our children as they're starting to raise their own children is one of the most profound impacts that we may be able to have.
Interesting. Rabbi Barry Kesselwitz is with us. Parenting in Perspective, Timeless Wisdom, Modern Applications. That is the title and subtitle of the book. It is a Magid Books release, magidbooks.com, magidbooks.com, for all the information. Rabbi Kesselwitz and his family will be moving to Israel. I would guess, may I ask you the range of your own children in terms of ages?
Absolutely. My children are currently ages 12, 9, 7, and 5.
And they're in, I assume, on this decision to head to Israel, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, I would guess someone like yourself would not have made the decision without including them in the entire process.
Correct. And each in an age-appropriate way. So the level of discussion we had with a 5-year-old was obviously different than the level of discussion we had with a 12-year-old. And it was really a key example of helping ready your children for a challenge. We never pretended that it was easy. It won't be easy. It'll be a challenge, and in many ways much more of a challenge for them than it will be for us as adults. And they needed to be on board and willing and able to approach that challenge for us to be able to go through with the decision.
Because I would bet that there are parents out there that make unilateral decisions, or maybe bilateral, if you want to call it that, since it's a couple, without consulting with their children and just letting them know, informing them that they're going to be heading to Israel for either elementary or high school.
Right, and that's something that I certainly would not recommend. There are sometimes things that happen to us in our life that we don't have control over. We may lose a job, we may be forced to move, and those sort of things can be weathered with your family without having consulted your kids because you're not making a decision. But if you as parents are making a life-changing decision and you don't involve your children in the discussion, the children will feel betrayed, they'll feel devalued, and it's simply not a way to keep that relationship going. Now, it doesn't mean your children get to make the decision,
right?
But you have to show them the respect of involving them in the discussion.
All right, I'm sure there are people listening right now who are curious about a couple of things. You speak a lot about love and the confidence and the quality time, quantity time, etc. What about discipline? There are people who might think that someone coming from your perspective would feel that discipline should be minimized, especially as we get further away from generations where discipline was, or what they called discipline, was, an overriding factor when it came to raising children. How do you, in fact, incorporate discipline into this type of formula?
I think that it's a vital, vital question. It's actually the subject of an entire chapter because it has to be dealt with in depth. But in a nutshell, the most salient words on this to me are the Rambam. And Rambam writes that if one is disciplining their child, one should never be angry. And in general, the Rambam tells us anger is something we must avoid. There are times when one must show that they're angry because it's educational. And in my book, I differentiate between what I call anger, where somebody is yelling at their child, they've just lost it, they've boiled over, the kid is lazy, the kid's no good, or even more benign examples, but where there's real anger there, as opposed to what I call outrage. When you're outraged about what your child did. You're outraged because this didn't fit with our moral values, this didn't fit with our Torah values, and you're emotional and you demonstrate to your child that this is right and this is wrong, but it's about the action, and it's about the value, it's not about the child. And discipline is about teaching, it's about educating kids for the long term, not applying punishments or consequences because they're an emotional outlet for our own anger in the short term.
The old "I love you, but I hate what you did," or "I don't like," or "I don't love what you did," that type of thing.
Exactly. And beyond that, I think we need to understand that when children act out, they're acting out because something is wrong. They're acting out because they have some need, some struggle that they're not able to deal with on their own. And while we might apply a consequence immediately as necessary, our real task as parents is to figure out what's wrong underneath. Are they lacking attention? Are they lacking the ability to succeed? Is there some skill that's underdeveloped in their ability to cope with the world? And we have to figure out how to help them learn that skill so that long-term they can be successful.
All right, we have a couple minutes left. Teenagers is the last topic.
Good luck.
Exactly. I don't know if you can – what do I have? I have four teenagers, and it's always been a challenge, of course, and they know that. But Baruch Hashem, they are wonderful children. A lot of people out there are curious about your formulas when it comes to teenagers. You've been a high school principal, as you mentioned, so you've had experience both with them and their parents. Are there specific guidelines, general guidelines you can give that might help parents who are dealing with those in their teens?
Absolutely. I think we do have to understand that teenage years biologically, physically are different. The brain is different during those times. Kids are more likely to make snap judgments. They're more likely to lack impulse control. And psychologically, as we know from many psychologists, they're in a search for their own identities. And the way they start to push back very naturally on parents can be deeply hurtful to us as parents. And so our challenge is to understand, first and foremost, that this is going to be a difficult period. And our job is to help our kids get through it. That we have to understand that regardless of how they're reacting, we need to maintain a balanced approach. So I've seen so many parents with a rebellious teenager simply want to back off and say, well, okay, we're not going to push you. We're going to take a step back. We just can't deal with this. You do what you want, and we're going to kind of go about our lives. On the other hand, I've seen parents say, no, the kid's rebelling. We got to crack down. If they were going to be 5 minutes late to show on Shabbos, now they're going to be 5 minutes early, and we're going to push. And unfortunately, neither of those extremes work. we need to navigate the much more challenging middle ground of saying, okay, well, you're pushing back. We have to show you that our values are still important, but we have to do it while recognizing that you're forming your own identity, yeah. And we want you in your own way to integrate our values into your identity. And how do we do that? And how do we not get deeply insulted when teenagers roll their eyes, which is a natural age-appropriate reaction that we have to work through as parents and not fly off the handle every time one of those faces are made or eyes are rolled or everything else that teenagers are very apt to do.
Boy, oh boy. It's a big challenge. It's a big task. And I am sure your advice is going to come in very handy for a lot of people out there. I want to thank you. Mazal tov on the Aliyah. Good luck to you and your family. And I thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a wonderful conversation.
Rabbi Dr. Barry Kislowitz, the brand new book is Parenting in Perspective, Timeless Wisdom, Modern Applications, a Magid Books release. Rabbi Kislowitz has been in the Jewish community of Cleveland for the last 12 years, head of the Fuchs Mizrahi School. And the book is just released, as you heard. Yesterday was the actual book launch celebration, and he'll be heading with his family to Israel to live in the Holy Land to make Aliyah this coming summer. Parenting in Perspective: Timeless Wisdom, Modern Applications, a Magid Books release. You can check it out. Go to magidbooks.com, magidbooks.com, and of course, korenpub.com, korenpub.com. Gives your perspective on all the publications that Koren is responsible for. And you can check that out on their website, Koren Publishers Jerusalem. I thank our special guest, Rabbi Dr. Barry Kislowitz, on this edition of Buy the Book. And I thank our friends at Koren Publishers Jerusalem for bringing this to you on a weekly basis. Check out the website, korenpub.com and magidbooks.com. This is the Nachum Segal Network. Thank you.